what God did on that first Christmas. It's good to be back with you, and we really appreciated the break that we've had and appreciated prayers that have been offered on our behalf. Ministry, as it were, has taken a natural break in that before leaving the three series that I was doing, morning, evening, and on Wednesdays, all came to a conclusion. And therefore, I felt it was right not to launch into three new books or anything like that, but to remind ourselves of God's purposes at Christmas. And that, in many ways, is the message that I want to bring this morning. God's purpose for Christmas. Christians vary in the responses to Christmas. Some reject it because it is associated so closely with various pagan festivals. Others want nothing to do with it because it has become so commercialized. But others, like Paul, think, well, it's a religious festival and it gives us an opportunity to declare not man's ideas about Christmas, but what Scripture actually teaches us about the time when God became man. I fall into that last category. I think when there's a religious festival on, it's always good to build on the way people are thinking and to use the opportunity to bring out the truth and to remind them. So as all of us will get dragged into the frantic preparation for Christmas, I trust that Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings will be an opportunity for us to think, well, what was God doing when he sent his Son into the world? I'm sure that in schools and in many churches there will be nativity plays and there will be various activities going on and various interpretations given to Christmas. But we as a church are going to take an opportunity on December the 12th. In the morning service, we're going to have a junior carol service and encourage those of you involved in the children's work to be preparing children so that they would come to church that morning and be involved in our service. And we would worship, encouraging families to come. On Sunday the 19th, we're going to have our main carol service in the evening, and then we will meet together on Saturday the 25th for a Christmas morning service. We'll take opportunities to get out into the neighbourhood and to try to make contact with our neighbours. But as we do these things, what are we going to tell people? Well, I can assure you that there won't be mention of Santa Claus and all the traditional additions to Christmas. But I trust that we will be able to go back to the foundations of the biblical truth and the fact that God became man and lived among us. This morning, I think much to Ian's relief, I will not be preaching on John 3:16, but I will in fact be preaching on John 3:17. John 3:16 is so well known by so many people. But verse 17, I think, holds terrific truth. We're told in John 3:17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." There are three things that I want to see in this verse, and I want to use them as the basis for ministry in these coming weeks. First of all, Christmas begins with God. And I want us to talk about our Saviour, the one who has come to save. Secondly, Christmas, in fact, removes a problem. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world. That had already happened, and I'll explain that to you. And thirdly, Christmas provides an answer, or provides the answer. And I want us to talk about our salvation. What God has done to save us from the presence of sin and the power of sin and the effects of sin. So let's look then at these three headings this morning. Christmas began with God. For God did not send his Son into the world. What a saviour. The one who saves us is not simply a man. He is a man. But he is God. At Christmas time, with all the traditions that have built up, it's easy to lose our perspectives. As I was saying in my introduction, there will be nativity plays. Children will be reenacting the Christmas stories. And we will, if we visit schools and some churches, we will see children parading with tea towels on their heads, wearing their dressing gowns, this, that, and the other. And in fact, when we were in Canada, I was overhearing a conversation where a child was being reminded that when she had been a baby, she doesn't remember it, but she had in fact performed in one of these nativity plays, and she was the baby in the manger. But it's easy to lose sight of what Christmas is all about. And even as we come to a biblical perspective, it's easy to see things in the wrong perspective. As I spoke to the children this morning, I had the answer that I expected, and I had the answer that I wanted in a way. Christmas is about Jesus. But this verse shows us that it is more than about Jesus. There is more than simply God the Son who is involved in Christmas. God the Father was an active part of Christmas. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Now, it is said negatively in order to bring out an emphasis. John is recording for us that God did send his Son into the world. It was a corporate decision by God in Trinity. Now, our text only speaks of God the Father and God the Son, but we know for a fact that God in Trinity was involved in this situation and in this decision. Christmas begins with God. It is not a human invention. It is not simply a Christianizing of a pagan festival. Christmas is all about God saying, I am concerned. I am so concerned that I am going to get involved. It's easy, isn't it, to read of a situation. We are currently in another situation in New Zealand. There are these people, these miners, trapped underground. We can be concerned, but we can remain at a distance. We can hear the news, but we are not going to get involved. But that isn't the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is God was so concerned with the needs of humanity that he became involved, that humanity became his priority. And we're told here that God sent his Son. Now, the word that is used here for send is in the Greek, is the word apostello. It's the word from which we get the word apostle. Jesus was the first apostle because he was sent from God. We think of the 12 apostles so often, don't we? But there was an apostle even before Jesus gave us his 12 apostles, or called his 12 disciples. Verse 16, the verse immediately before, we are told that he gave his only son. And there is a meaning there. It is a gift from God. But when we've got this word sent, the apostle, Jesus has come with authority. In a way, you can think of an apostle as someone similar to an ambassador. One who comes from one country to live in another country, but as he comes with all the authority of that country. As the ambassador speaks, so he speaks with the authority of his president, of his government, of his king, of his queen, and he has got that authority. Friends, that is how Jesus came. Yes, he was the babe of Bethlehem. Yes, he became fully man. But we know Charles Wesley's hymn, don't we, where we sing, emptied himself of all but love. But that's not true. Jesus did not empty himself of any of his Godhead. He was still God. He was fully God and he was fully man. He was sent with authority. He was sent with the power of God. Jesus was conscious that he had been sent. Throughout his life, he kept reminding people that he had not come to do his own will, but he had come to do the will of the one who had sent him. And the night of the resurrection, after Jesus had died on the cross, paying the price of our sin, after he had suffered the consequences of sin and been buried, he rose again. And he then came to his disciples and he said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." He was doing for his disciples what had been done to him. God sent his Son into the world with authority. He came under authority, but he came with authority. And friends, this is what Christmas is all about. It is God sending one with authority over the world. You think of the times when he calmed the storm. You think of the time when he spoke to the blind man and restored his sight. Those who were lame, he gave them strength back into their legs. There was authority. There was power. And there was the authority to do the will of God. Jesus was sent. It means that he existed before he became man. When Dave came to the front this morning, I made a reference to the fact that he and Sarah, hopefully in the next few days, going to become parents. It's possible for them to send Phoebe to Ian and Rosemary, but it's not possible for them to send this unborn child to anyone, because this unborn child has not existed in a physical, visual way prior to birth. But Jesus was sent. He existed before he became man. He came with authority. But he came as a servant. Remember the great promises of Isaiah that speak about Jesus being as the servant who is going to suffer. Christmas began with a God committed to working in cooperation. God the Father and God the Son. And in time we will see God the Holy Spirit. Christmas began with God. What a Saviour. But secondly, Christmas removes a problem. And here I want us to look at where Jesus was sent. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. Three references to the word world. And we have to remember why Jesus was sent. Many people feel that if they become Christians, that somehow they will be condemned. They won't be able to do what they used to do. They won't be able to live the way that they have always lived. Life will become constricted. It will become limited, and they will feel condemned. But friends, Christianity is not about condemnation. It is about salvation. And when people are afraid that becoming a Christian will condemn them, they have misunderstood completely the situation in which they find themselves. Why did Jesus come into the world? Why did God send Jesus? He sent Jesus to save. Why? Because the world was already condemned. Friends, I want to say to you this morning that if you are living outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are condemned. Look at verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. That's condemnation. If you are not in Christ, you are condemned. What do you mean, Burnett? Well, I need to take you back right to the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, when he gave life to humanity, when he created Adam and Eve. We are told that the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge and good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Friends, God was as good as his word. And when Adam and Eve disobeyed and they ate the fruit, then the relationship with God was destroyed. It was condemned. Peace was lost. Prior to this, Adam and Eve had heard the voice of God and they had known peace. But after this, when they heard the voice of God, they were afraid. Why were they afraid? They were afraid because they had disobeyed God and they had come under the judgment of God. Friends, Adam was our father. I don't care what race you are a part of. We are all a part of the race, the human race. And when Adam disobeyed God, the world was condemned under the judgment of God. When God sent his Son into the world, he sent him to remove the condemnation. Do you remember the announcement by the angels? On earth, peace. Not peace between nations, essentially, but peace between God and man. Up until that point, God had clearly said, the wages of sin is death. And there seemed to be no hope. But Romans 6 tells us, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God sent his Son, not to condemn the world, but in order that an existing condemnation might be removed. Friends, look around you. Look at the mess that our world is in, as it seeks to live without God, as it seeks to fly in the face of God's established order for humanity. There is condemnation, there is destruction, but God sent his Son to remove that condemnation. And over these coming weeks, I want us to see examples of people who were suffering condemnation in their lives, but how Jesus came to them and he saved them. Thirdly, Christmas is about a Saviour. What a Saviour. Christmas provides the answer to the human need. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Friends, there is salvation in no other. What does this word saved mean? What does salvation mean? Well, Strong's Concordance translates this word like this: to save or to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction. It can be applied in a general way, but it can also be applied in a specific way, to deliver from the penalties of messianic judgment. God is going to judge this world, but we can be saved from that judgment. It can also mean to save from the evils which obstruct the reception of God's salvation. Friends, when we live without God, we live without salvation. We are destroying ourselves. This morning, if you are living without the Lord Jesus Christ, you are living under destruction, as we all have. But Jesus was sent in order to save. And he is the only one who can save. And he did save. The night before he was crucified, he was able to pray, "Father, I have completed the work that you gave me to do." As he hung on the cross, he was able to cry out, "It is finished. The task, the job, the responsibility that you sent me to fulfill, I have fulfilled. I have paid the price of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Friends, Christmas is about God saving a world, saving individuals, saving men, saving women, saving children who could not save themselves. And it has been done. It is completed. The task was completed and it was successful. But friends, it's limited. I've spoken of the razzmatazz of Christmas. Most of us are old enough to remember, aren't we, January sales. But they have pre-Christmas sales these days, don't they? But a January sale was always limited. It was for a limited time, and it was for a limited stock. And there was no negotiation. Once it had gone, they couldn't go into the stockroom and find another because it was limited. Friends, the salvation that Christmas offers is limited. It's not, as the old saying says, for any Tom, Dick and Harry. It is only through Christ. God sent his Son into the world in order that the world might be saved through him. On my way to Canada, I went through the usual procedures at the airport. I went to the airlines and got my bags checked in and sorted everything out there. I got my boarding pass and I moved on to the departure gates. And I followed this gentleman who had to face one of those embarrassing situations in life. The lady said to him, "Sorry, sir, you cannot come through." He said, "But I've got a ticket." "Sorry, sir, you cannot come through." "But I've paid the price." "You cannot come through. In order to go through this gate, you need a boarding pass." "Well, what do I do?" "You go back to the airline desk, you check in, and they will give you a boarding pass." Friends, This is the reality of the salvation that is available to all who will believe. It is available to people of every tribe and nation, of every age, of every gender. But it is only available in and through Christ. It's a great salvation. But I want to ask you this morning, friends, do you have it? Do you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Have you come to Him? Have you asked Him to take responsibility for your life? Christmas is a beautiful message. There is peace with God because Christ has successfully removed the condemnation. But it is only Christ who has the authority to do that. Let me make it plain this morning, friends. Every person in this building, including the preacher, was born under the condemnation of God. But God was so concerned that He sent His Son in order that we might be saved. And it's only in Him that we can be saved. There's no other limit. You don't have to worry what race you were born into. You don't have to worry what gender you are. You don't have to worry what age you are. You can come with a whole catalogue of sin. Jesus is able to forgive it. But you must come. Because there is salvation in no other. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Let me ask, friends, are you saved this morning? It is our prayer that you will be, because we want none of you to continue living under self-destruction and under the destruction that God will impose if you live outside of Christ. May God help each of you to believe and to trust Him. Amen.